Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Water, it is precious and becoming increasingly scarce. We all want it and we all need it. It's almost the modern day version of the California Gold Rush, a valuable resource that's become increasingly difficult to count on and capture. Throw in the complications of climate change, and delivering water to the people and the farmers who need it most has been the topic of heated debate for decades. Meanwhile, the clock keeps ticking, and the amount of rain and snow critical for our water needs continues to be predictably unpredictable with extremes. That's where the Delta Tunnel or conveyance project comes in. It is highly controversial. There are passionate arguments on both sides, and late last week, the proposal cleared what appears to be a major milestone in getting it to move to the next step. Jay Lund is a professor emeritus of civil and environmental engineering at UC Davis and an expert in water resource engineering. Jay joins us now to sift through the pros and the cons of the Delta Tunnel project or the conveyance project and how it could impact all of California. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning.
So, Jay, if you head south on I-5, south of Sacramento, I mean, you'll see some signs that say, save the Delta, no water tunnels. So many of us may have heard or be aware of the Delta Tunnel project, but might not know exactly what it is. So can you just start by explaining what the Delta Conveyance Project proposal is?
So this Delta Conveyance Project proposal is to build two intakes north of along the Sacramento River, around about Cortland or Hood, and use that to supply a tunnel that has a little bit less than a 40-foot diameter down towards the intakes for the State Water Project, which are in the South Delta. So it's a way of moving high-quality water from the northern part of north part of the Delta where the Sacramento River flows in down into the California Aqueduct, which flows down to the Central Valley, the Bay Area, and Southern California.
Who would be in charge of managing it?
The Department of Water Resources would be in charge of the project and would own the project, as I understand it, and then would integrate its operations into the State Water Project and the California Aqueduct.
When it comes to, you know, the inception of, you know, maybe the first iteration of the Delta Tunnels project, I mean, it goes back governors and even decades. So when was this idea first proposed and by whom?
It was first proposed by a consulting engineer. I think it was a consultant to the state back in the 1940s as a peripheral canal. And then we had, of course, the peripheral canal that was proposed in the 1957 state water plan. And that was voted on by the people in 1982 and basically rejected by that vote, particularly by North California. So it's alive and kicking around, but it's advanced a little bit more in the last decade or so.
Mm. Why has it taken so long? I mean, I know that there are passionate debates on each side, but now that it's cleared a hurdle, an environmental impact report, which was announced by the state last week, you know, you're talking about a trajectory, a slow one at that, that has taken, you know, well over 50 years.
I think because it's controversial. You know, there are people in the Delta and Northern California that don't want to see any more water exported to the South. There are people in Southern California that feel they need additional water or need more reliability in the amount of water that they have. So it's sort of at loggerheads, I think, that way for a long time and might well continue that way.
You know, Governor Newsom, he recently streamlined environmental regulations in the name of CEQA, and this was earlier this year. And when it comes to like big infrastructure projects, so given, as I mentioned, the slow trajectory and the hurdles of this project that go back decades, did the Delta Conveyance Project benefit from this recent reform?
That remains to be seen. The state hasn't certified this EIR yet. I think that's the next thing up for the state. And then there'll be quite a few permits that have to be gotten for this project over the coming months, maybe coming years, by different federal and state agencies.
Not too long ago, like less than 3 weeks ago, we were talking with the PPIC, with Jeffrey Mount, about the site's reservoir project. And that has been given some kind of like a new breath of life. It's also a project that goes back like 70 years in Glenn and Colusa counties. And now it's being streamlined and moving forward. We're talking about two really big, massive water infrastructure projects. Are they connected? What does that say about the fact that both of these are seem to be moving forward this year?
Well, I do think that they are connected in that if you had the additional storage capacity up in the Sacramento Valley, you could capture a little bit more so-called surplus water. And the problem with that project alone is that if you can't move it across the Delta, it's harder to get it to a place where people are willing to pay a lot of money for it, a lot more money for it. So if it's just if sites is just serving farmers in the Sacramento Valley, it doesn't have as much value in terms of people willing to fund the project as if it's further south. So to some degree, the two projects benefit from each other.
Have infrastructure projects involving water of this size, have they been done in recent years? I mean, I don't think it's been done in years or maybe even decades.
Well, we had the East Side Reservoir was built in Southern California. It was 800,000 acre foot of storage capacity. That was funded entirely by people in Southern California. So we have been doing some things like this. I think we're at the tail end of major large infrastructure, dams and canals and aqueducts in terms of the development of California water.
What stands out to you about the environmental impact report that the Delta Conveyance Project it cleared last week?
It doesn't. I mean, it's a very precise document for addressing the legal requirements of the California Environmental Quality Act, but it's not a very informative document on what are the benefits and costs to different groups, what are the real risks to different fish species, environmental species, what are the benefits for some of those species as well.
Mm. What is the next step then for this project? I mean, how does it move forward? And really, how long would it even take to get built and completed?
Well, I think it has to get permitted first. So as I said, there's maybe a dozen or more, maybe a couple dozen permits that have to be gotten from a variety of federal and state agencies. And then after that, you'll have to have people agree to finance this project, which is, quite a few billion dollars. And the state has been saying that it's not going to come from the general funds of the general budget of the state of California. So it will come from water users. And that's I think, a very good tradition of the state water project, that it's funded overwhelmingly by the users. And then it has to be built. And in all of that period, there'll be opportunities for lawsuits, and I think we'll see quite a few.
Do you think it could take years or decades?
Oh, decades.
Decades. When it comes to, obviously it's been controversial for quite some time. Walk us through who's opposed to it and why.
Well, there's always concerns by people in the Delta because of disruptions to to agriculture, recreation, livelihoods, just the normal ways of living. People don't like disruptions, and I think with good reason quite often. There's a lot of environmental concerns about anything big that's built. Certainly on the local scale, you'll have disruptions of habitat of different kinds over time. And then in the long term, any changes in the movement of water, as bad as it is now for the environment, there's concerns that it might make it worse. There's an idea that the less water you take out of the Delta, the better it is for the ecosystems. And I think in some ways that's true, but the system down there is really pretty complex. So I think we have to really think about things a lot more carefully.
If the permitting moves forward and the project continues or will get built, I mean, will this have an impact to property owners along this, 45-mile track that the tunnel will go through?
For a few of them that have the tunnel access pits, I think they'll see some effects on their property values and their accessibility and the like. But I think for most of them, one of the advantages of having a tunnel rather than a peripheral canal, which was the original sets of proposals, is that it goes underneath a lot of the impacts. It avoids a lot of the surface impacts.
You know, because that's one of the arguments that proponents will say, that, you know, it helps protect against earthquake damage to the existing system, because this will essentially be built along or even near the San Andreas Fault. And the State Water Project is, what, 50, 60 years old? I mean, how will this tunnel kind of help mitigate the risks of damage from an earthquake?
The Delta, well, anything in California is at some risk for earthquakes. I mean, this is the part of the state. A major earthquake in the Delta has potential to cause many levees to fail, which would be certainly devastating for the local landowners, but unfortunately we don't have very many residents in that part of the world. But it would also disrupt the water operations for Delta exports, which require pulling water from the Sacramento Valley through the Delta and then to the export canals and aqueducts. So if you had that disrupted and you had salt water coming in from all the way into the Delta because of the earthquake and the failure of the levees, the thought is that that would disrupt water exports, water users for at least several months and maybe up to a couple of years.
Given that a realistic timeline is not years, but decades. And when we get projections when it comes to climate change that the state will release, I mean, they're talking about like 2040. I mean, so by the time that the tunnel is built, wouldn't it be too late?
Well, if you have an earthquake before the tunnel is completed, perhaps. But I think the thought is that this is a very long-term kind of proposition, that you have to a lot of infrastructure you build for the long term. I-80, we don't rebuild it every 10 years. You know, we build it for the very long term. And there's some risks involved when you do that, because technologies and such can change. But I think we often see quite a lot of value to taking a long-term perspective on fundamental infrastructure.
You know, it's also costly, and you got to figure out a way to pay for it. And I know there's going to be a lot of stakeholders that will be involved in this. But are there other alternative, cost-effective ways to move water south and just to drier areas of the state?
Well, I think probably this is likely to be the most cost-effective way of moving water from the north to the south, or continuing to maintain about the same exports of water from the north to the south. The amount of the ability of the projects to move water from north to south is diminishing with climate change. And to a large extent, this proposal is to try to slow down the rate of that reduction over time.
Given that California is currently facing a deep budget shortfall, I mean, I think the projection is $68 billion. Are there any thoughts on any impact this could have to the Delta Conveyance Project?
There might be some impacts in terms of the ability of state agencies to have the funds to do the permitting, but the general idea, as I understand it, is to have the water users pay the entire capital cost and construction costs of this project.
Given that this has cleared a recent hurdle for the modern iteration of like the Delta now single tunnel project, I mean, you have such a depth of expertise and perspective when it comes to water infrastructure and projects in the state. I mean, what do you think the likelihood is that it'll move forward?
I think there's maybe a 25 to 40% chance that this particular project will move forward and eventually be built, perhaps with some variant of it. But I think there's a very good chance that it will not reach completion. It certainly is going to require more than one governor to sign on to it over the course of its permitting and construction.
Jay, thank you so much for the time.
You're welcome.
Jay Lund is a professor emeritus of civil environmental engineering at UC Davis and an expert in water resource engineering, discussing the Delta Conveyance Project, which just cleared an environmental impact report last week. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.